Once again, church, it's a great joy for me to be here today and to share about it. It's not about what we are doing. It's not about what Gospel for Nations or what the First Baptist or what Jeff Cook or Mrs. Joe or any one of us are doing. It's about what God is doing in and through our lives. And that's the testimony that I want to share with you this morning. And I want to thank you for the privilege that God has given us through your church and through the generous partnership of Dr. Jeff Cook and Mrs. Jolin to take care of the little children in India. God has been really good, and God is working in an amazing way. God helped us last year. A couple of years back, myself and Dr. Jeff had been talking about having a vision to plant about 250 churches. And there was a long conversation, and then we thought probably God would help us to plant churches through our lifetime. And when God gives a vision, God provides all that it takes to fulfill and accomplish what God has called us to do as we are obedient to God's call in our life. And then I met with a church in Florida, and then the church was not even willing, and the church was not even having an idea to a sponsor for church planters and to embrace the vision. But even as I shared about the vision, God-given vision to them, they said they would go ahead and probably support about 10 church planters and see what happens. Then this church started supporting 30, and this church started supporting 60, and this church started supporting 90, and God enabled us to plant 133 churches, leading 138 new people into the faith and as the followers of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I want to thank God, but in spite of all these things, probably I don't know whether you would year in the international news about the political party and the persecution that's going on in India. Probably years ago, there's always been persecution in India. And years before, they used to come beat up and, you know, burn down a church and, kill a pastor, and they go on hiding. And the police comes and they file a case with the police, and the police goes in search for them and arrests them. But now the situation is not like that anymore. You know, they come beat up a pastor, burn down a church, kill a pastor, and then they go on to give an interview saying that we are the ones that killed. February 14, 15, in the second week, one of our network pastors called as Pastor Gideon. Pastor Gideon was a very, very cheerful man, a very committed church planter. He was very thrilled and excited to work in that particular region of Kanchipuram. Many times there were threats to him, asking him to leave that place because he was that effective that many came to know about Jesus through his personal life and through his ministry. Just before I came to the U.S., I got a call on February, the second week of February, and they said, Pastor Gideon is no more. He is gone to be with the Lord. They opened the church at 5 in the morning, and they found this man hanging in his own church. The radicals, the Hindu radicals, came, beat him up, and hung him in his own church. And they were not willing to file a case, about the death of this Pastor Gideon. And at the end, the police wrote a report saying the pastor committed suicide inside his own church. In these times of challenges, and in spite of these challenges, the church is growing. People are receptive to God's word. People are coming to the faith. People are hearing to the voice of God and accepting Jesus to be their personal Savior. And I truly believe that the persecutions has always been there, and it will be there, and it is going to be there in the future. But the hope of the church is this, that the gates of hell shall not prevail the church. And that's the hope. And I want to ask you today that even as you are seated here, and even as the missionaries work in the forefronts in the mission field, that you remember them in your personal prayers. It's not the finances that actually makes the difference. Finances are only a vehicle to accomplish God's purposes and plans in one's life. But what really transforms and touches lives is the prayers of God's people. So even as I stand here, I ask that you pray for them, even as they serve in the forefronts in the mission field. Brother Raman is one of the church planters that your church supports. He sends his greeting to your church, and he is so thrilled to work. And Pastor Jeff and myself had a personal privilege to go and meet with him, pray with him, fellowship with him. And when I go back, I would take your greetings back to Pastor Raman. The other work that I want to share with you before I share the word is about the Serve and Love Home for Children. The girl children are a liability to the society. Probably you would find the fast facts of India there and about the girls. India has about 1.33 billion people that live in that nation. It's the world's second largest country, that populated country. And out of that, 46% of them are under the age of 14, and 60% of them are under the age of 16, which means that more than half of our population are young people and children. 600,000 villages in India. 70% of that population lives in that 600,000 villages, which has no access to healthcare, which has no access to education or hygiene or any kind of privileges. Girl children are a liability to the society and to the family. They, even though abortion is illegal, they abort the girl child. Sometimes they throw away the girl children in the garbage. Rather than being overwhelmed of all these facts in India, with the vision of Mrs. Jolene Cook, we started this home called the Serve and Love Home, which cares for about 19 children. We have rescued children from different crises, from different distresses, and even from poverty. And these children now have a qualitative education, have a qualitative accommodation, food. But more than all of these, we are happy and satisfied that they grow in the love, in the knowledge, and in the fear of Jesus Christ. What greater joy can we have than to know those little ones know Jesus, and that we have placed that eternity into the hearts of those young children, which should change their generations to come in the future. We want to thank you, church, for that privilege and that support that you have been giving from you as an individual. You know, some of you have sponsored as families, and even as a church, you know, we ask you to continue to pray for them so that they would continue to grow up to be a great witness for Jesus Christ. Let me quickly stop here and move to God's Word. I have about 10 minutes more, so I would try to keep it as short as possible, but also bring to you what God has placed in my heart. Well, one of the toughest thing, you know, if you want to do, you know, if you want to torture an Indian, put him on the stage, give him a mic to speak, and start the countdown clock. No pressures. So I want you to pray for all the work that God is doing. God is doing some amazing things in that part of the world. And I would say that this is God's timing for India. So they say that, you know, to win nations is a one-time opportunity. And I feel that this is the Kairos moment, the opportune moment for India to win nation and to harvest and reap souls. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we move into God's Word. Father, we just want to thank you for yet another beautiful day that you've added into our lives, to feel the warmth of your love and to stand as a witness to your name. Father, even as we have gathered together, O Lord, Father, we pray that we will truly sense your presence amongst us. Send us back not empty, O Lord, but send us with your love, with your joy, with your peace, and with the assurance that you are going with us. Father, even as I bring your word, Father, hide me in the shadow of your cross and speak to each one of us. Minister to each one of our needs this morning through your word. I give the rest of the time into your mighty hands. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. The passage that I've chosen for this morning is Joshua, from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. So I'm going to keep it really short, and I'm just going to give you the major points so that you can go back and meditate on that particular passage. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. I believe that there are three kinds of people that are seated here this morning. Three different kinds of people, or three types of people that are seated. The first kind of people that are seated here today is some of us live in the past glory and forget to live in the present blessing of God. Sometimes we would have heard some of us telling, when I was at that age, 30, I was very successful. Probably some would say, that I'd accomplished a lot when I was at that time. I was a very studious person. God blessed me when I was that age or at that dispensation. They keep on to boast about the past glory and forget to live in the present blessing of God. Second kind of people is that they fear the future and not enjoy the present blessing of God. What will happen if I do this? What will happen if I invest in that? What will happen for my children? I don't know what the future of my children are. It looks so bleak. What will happen when I reach at the age of 60? My father died of cancer. Probably even when I reach that age, I don't know if I'm going to have cancer in my life. Probably we fear the future. We are afraid to take the next step into the future and forget to enjoy what God has for us in store today in our life. And the third kind of people are the ones that forget about the past and don't worry about the future, but live in the present, knowing God is the one who knows us from the cradle to the grave. He holds our future, and I have nothing to worry about, and I enjoy trusting the Lord at the very present moment of our lives. And I want to caption this morning my sermon as moving from fear to having confidence in God. Moving from fear to having confidence in God, basing on the life of Joshua. And I want to take three things from the life of Joshua this morning. Firstly, it's the call of Joshua. Go to your home and read that passage carefully, you would find that Moses is dead. Their leader is dead. The people of Israel are mourning for their leader. And Joshua is also mourning and grieving for his leader's death. And God tells to remind Joshua. And if you look into that passage, you would find, tell my servant Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. If I would have been in the place of Joshua, I would have told the Lord, Lord, why do you want to remind me again and again, Lord? I know Moses is dead, Lord. I'd been in the burial, Lord. I fought with him, Lord. And now you're telling me is a late news, Lord. But God was reminding Joshua to get up from his grieving and to go forward because the work of the Lord needs to be done in the future. Never sit and grieve. The reminder for Joshua from God was, don't grieve, Joshua. Get up, rise up, for the work of the Lord is still a lot and yet to be done. Don't grieve about the past. I don't know, my dear church, if you are sitting here this morning, if you are grieving about something, if you're grieving about your failures in the past, and I want to tell you this morning, look up to that cross. Look up to that throne. Look up to Jesus. Because the answers to your crisis comes from that throne of God. Never grieve about your past. Never sit in your failures and cry over that. Secondly, the courage of Joshua. Four times in this passage you would find the phrase comes, be strong and courageous. In verse 7 you would find, be strong and very courageous. In verse 9 you would find, be strong and courageous. In verse 18 you would find, only be strong and courageous. It was natural for Joshua to live in fear, because he knew what his leader went through when he lived. They questioned Moses about his leadership. They questioned what kind of a leader was Moses. And probably I feel that Joshua was afraid. Joshua would have thought to himself, it is better for me to be an assistant to the leader than to be a leader for himself. But God takes away that fear that Joshua had in his heart and in his life. How did God take it away? You would find quickly the promises that God gave. The promise of possession. Joshua, you will possess it, Joshua. The second promise, the promise of protection. Joshua, I am with you, Joshua. I will never leave you, Joshua. Even till the end of the ages, I will be with you, Joshua. The promises of God took care of the fears that Joshua had in his life. The promises of God are not possibilities, but they are certainties for life that will come to a pass, no matter what. And I want to ask you today, my dear church, how many of us truly believe in the promises of God? Sometimes we hear about the preaching of the Word. Sometimes we know the promises of God. But how many of us truly believe that this promise that God has given me through His Word will come to a pass in my life? God did not say to Joshua, Joshua, I may protect you, Joshua. God did not say to Joshua, Joshua, I may give you the possession, Joshua. But God said, I will, Joshua. What does that mean? It means it will happen, something that's going to happen. Joshua, if you want to be strong and courageous, Joshua, believe in the promises of God. If you are a believer, my dear church, you will meet four things in your life, four different things. All of us who are seated here would have met that four things in our life. And I want you to remember this word, the alphabet S. Suffering, sickness, storms of different kinds in our life, and success. And all of us who are seated here would have gone through one of these things in our lives. But what was God reminding Joshua? Joshua, you will go through suffering, Joshua. You will go through success, Joshua, in your life. You will go through storms in your life, Joshua. But I want you to be reminded, Joshua, in the midst of all this, Joshua, believe in the promises of God. Know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the midst of all this, know that I am with you always. My dear church, I don't know what kind of a frame of mind that you have walked inside this church this morning. And if you are looking out for that one message from God this morning, this is the message that God tells us today through His Word. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you even till the end of ages. Let me quickly move on. It's not only believing in the promises of God. It's also obeying to the Word of God. Many of us don't have a problem in believing the promises of God, but we definitely have a problem in obeying to the Word of God. And God was telling Joshua, it's not only in believing, read from verses 7 to 9, you would find, it's not only believing in the promises of God, Joshua, it is the key to success is not in believing. The key to success for your spiritual life is in obeying to what God has called you to do. And that's what God was reminding Joshua. And let me close it quickly. The third and the final one is the confidence of Joshua. The call of Joshua, the courage of Joshua, and the confidence of Joshua. If you would find in verse 10, you would find that the Lord gives him a command and orders Joshua to tell the people to get ready and to move out of the land. So what Joshua heard from God, he passes it on to the people. And he says, God has given us and we can move out of this land. And that was the promise that God was giving Joshua. And Joshua was passing it to the people of Israel. He was courageous, but he also moved with confidence, telling people, let's move. God has given us to possess it. Do we have that kind of a confidence in our life? Do we have that kind of a courage in our life like that? Let me quickly close it with four important lessons as the time is going to be up. If you have forgotten everything that I've spoke in the last 10, 12 minutes, and if you didn't understand my English, I want you to listen to these four lessons from the life of Joshua very carefully. Firstly, do not let pain and failures to hinder the plans and the purposes of God in your life. Secondly, believe the promises of God, for they are not possibilities, but they are certainties for life. Thirdly, obedience to the Word of God is the only key to success in life. And fourthly, to the coin of confidence, there are two sides. One is strength and the other is courage. And my prayer today to you, my dear church, is that we would be like Joshua, moving forward, believing and obeying in the promises of God's Word. And I want to ask you today, even as I close, even as Pastor Jeff comes forward and prays, will you bring whatever fears you have? Will you bring that tears to the presence of God and lay it in the altar and say, Lord, into your hands I give, and into your hands I surrender my fears, and He will come through in your life. God bless us all.